Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is called, Is This the Best You Can Do? And the reason that we're talking about this is that we tend to live in our comfort zone. And what I want to do is help you understand how to get outside your comfort zone. My challenge to you is to do the opposite. Look at what you are doing to stay in your comfort zone and think, what is the opposite action of my instinct? And would this opposite action be a better solution? And yes, for Seinfeld fans, this is the old George Costanza method. Finally, there is one more thing I want you to ask yourself. Are you doing the best you can do? Find out what I mean. Okay. Every Saturday morning after my workout, The obituary is the true ledger of one's impact on the world. Funerals are clouded by emotion and the inability of the full story to emerge. There is difficult to get full measure of the trials and tribulations that one has endured. It's not the right time to truly record one's place in the world. That is best left for the obituary. It is in the obituary read by perfect strangers in an unbiased setting that tells us whether or not a person did the best they can be and have done with what they were given. Recently, I read through an issue of The Economist. I stumbled across an obituary of a man that will be remembered with the Giants. His faults and accomplishments were listed in an argument made that his reputation that should live on. He had done the best he could was the message, though he was neither perfect in achieving his aim nor in how he treated others. The end result of this man's life was that he accomplished all that he could given the life he had lived. Will the paper say the same for us when it comes time? Are we doing the best we can do? Sadly, the answer is most often no. How do I know this? Mea culpa. For all my preaching on time management, there are still hours wasted each week that could be better spent working towards my mission of helping 1 million men and women transform their lives. There are still many things I could be doing better. We all have plenty of room for improvement. But the good news is that you don't have to be perfect. You can still have the vices, as we all do. You don't have to be a super mom or saint to be remembered as doing the best that you could do. You only have to be better than what you're doing right now. Can you do better at work? Could you arrive 15 minutes earlier each day to tackle a vital task with your full concentration before the rest of the office arrives? Is there a work relationship that you can repair that would help move a project along? Is there a way that you could better communicate your orders to subordinates so they do a better job and have greater enjoyment and focus on their work? There must be a way we can do better. And what about when it comes to taking control of your financial independence? Can you work harder or set aside 30 to 60 minutes per day to work on your side business? Is there something you could be doing better that could get you your goals faster? But improvement is not limited to work. Can you do better with your health? Can you plan ahead and do a better job with your nutrition? Can you set aside 30 minutes to consistently engage in the movement that your body needs for optimal health? Can you do a better job of following the rules for better sleep so that you don't toss and turn each night because the alcohol and caffeine flowing through your bloodstream? Surely we can all be better here. And finally, and perhaps most importantly, are you doing your best when raising your family? Can you spend more time at the park with your children? Are you receiving the best experience that you can provide them with given the resources at hand? Or are you spending more time on your iPhone answering email than being present for their milestones? Think about what your family deserves and find a way to do better. We can't ask for perfection from others or from ourselves, but we can demand better. We must take all the gifts we've been given and make the most of them. And for almost all of us, that means doing a slightly better, or in some cases, a much better job than what we are doing now. I'll let you decide where you belong in the continuum. We will have bad days. There will be days, even weeks, characterized by exhaustion, frustration, and obstacles. But we also have the opportunity to do better in these tough times than we have in the past. Ultimately, we have the opportunity and choice to do our best in every given situation. And if we do, we can look back and say, I could have done that so better. That was the best I could do. The fact that you're here means a lot. It means you care enough about yourself and about others that are all willing to take action, to risk stumbling, but never truly failing, and to get out of your comfort zone in order to create a better world for those around you and for yourself. You will earn it. You deserve it. And I respect that. I am proud of you for what you are doing. And when it comes time for you to pass on to the hereafter, a day that I hope is far, far away, it will be said that you have done the best with what you were given. The world will agree. It will take notice, and your reputation will live on. And the reason I'm talking about this today is also the fact that this is also the Jewish New Year. And it's a time of reflection and looking back and seeing the things that you've done, what you've done wrong, how you can change, how you can be better. Plus, also, it's coming up in the next couple of months of being a year since my mother passed away, and her unveiling is coming up. And in the meantime, my sister is the one that controls the finances. And knowing her and the way she manages things, you know, she should already be looking at and planning that unveiling, and I haven't heard anything from her because, first of all, I know she will drive from Atlanta to Savannah. I don't have a car. My other sister doesn't have a car. We're going to have to fly. And that means, when is she going to make those arrangements? And, you know, you need to be talking to each other and telling each other what's going on. We need to communicate. But the thing is that when I look back on my childhood, I don't have good memories about it. I grew up in a family where there was abuse. And when it comes time to putting together your eulogy, what you need to do is think about and write it out for yourself. How do you want to be remembered? Then look at your behavior today and ask yourself, can I be better? Can I change? Would I be remembered the way I want to be remembered based on the behavior I'm exhibiting today? Then how can I change? So when you look at all those things, you can change. You can become better. But it has to be a conscious decision on your part. You have to be willing to make the changes that you need to make for yourself. The problem is, for many of us, we don't think about those things. What we do think about is, you know, is getting something over on someone and taking advantage of them and using them. And then you question, well, why do people run away from me? Why do they treat me this way, because these are the behaviors that you exhibit. These are the things that you do to yourself. It's not something that is done to you by someone else. We all can control our own behavior. We can all make the decision. And the problem is that for so many of us, we don't realize that we're doing anything different, because this is our comfort zone. And why is it our comfort zone? Because this is the way we were raised. This is what we saw our parents do, and we're only following in their footsteps. So if you want to be a better person, if you want to be remembered, if you want people to say nice things about you, then you have to look inward, inside yourself, and make that decision. Am I truly being the person that I can be, or can I be better? And if you want to be better, then think about all the things that you can do that can help you be the person you want to be. And that all ties into trust. Do you do things that gain the trust of the people around you? And if you don't, what are you doing? And think about it. If you lie, if you have a tendency to lie to someone, get them to do what you want them to do, is to promise them something that you know you have no intention of ever doing, then how can they trust you? And in instance, my mother left my younger sister in control of everything. Why? Because, first of all, she was the only one that was born without a disability. Plus, these two were exactly alike. They were jealous. Whatever they saw something that someone else had, they had to have it. In fact, my sister stole a necklace from a cousin just because she wanted it. If people would give her things in Tupperware that she didn't want to go out and buy, guess what? She would keep the Tupperware and never return it. So think about it. Is she someone that can be trusted? Would you trust someone like that if you knew them? And yet when you talk to her, it's like she can't understand. Neither could my mother understand how the things that they were doing was how people were seeing them, simply because that was their behavior. And if you don't want to be remembered that way, if you want to make conscious changes in yourself, then you have to do what is going to help you be a better person. And remember, are you going to do what it takes? And what we need to understand is, if you want someone to trust you, you have to be honest with them. Trust is everything. Without trust, there will be no relationship. That is based on knowing that you can count on someone having your back when you need them. Trust is vital for any relationship to become strong and everlasting. Trust is learned, and it is based on relationships that you have with your parents. And this is what I learned, and what I hope will help you understand why it's important to understand how you need to be the person that you want people to know and remember you by. And so as a child, I learned I couldn't trust my parents because I have a disability. It was important to me to feel accepted and wanted as an individual within the family. As a child, I needed to know that I was loved and respected as an individual. Instead, my mother would often make remarks to me like, "You're helpless. You can't take care of yourself. You can't live on your own. You're going to fail." Every time I tried to do something for myself, there was not a day that went by that I was not fit or disciplined for something that happened in the family. That is, every time there was an argument between my sister and I, which was often that I was, many times I was the one that was blamed for starting the fight, whether it was truly my fault or not. And remember, honesty is the most important part of a relationship. If you can't trust anyone to tell you the truth, then what kind of relationship can you have with them? When there is lack of honesty in the family, it often leads to distrust of the person who lied. Have you ever been around someone who will tell you a lie even though they know that you know the truth? Have you ever been around someone who will push you in the corner to convert something where you have to lie about it so they can call you a liar to justify their lies? This is just a common tactic both my mother and sister would use to justify their lies. When I lived in a government complex, my elders were elderly and disabled. There was no central air conditioning or air conditioning unit. My mother once promised me that she would get me an air conditioner for my bedroom, which, guess what? She never did. So remember, children learn to forgive by watching the relationship their parents have with each other. Children watch how their parents handle disagreements between each other. When one spouse forgives the love of vice versa, then they have, when they have differences, children learn how to handle disagreements between each other. But when one spouse blames the other and blames the other or is about acknowledging their role in the relationship, then they teach their children to be inflexible as well. My father was someone who always had to be right and would argue with you until you finally agreed with him that he was right. This worked well for him because he was a lawyer. But in reality, in a relationship, when the person is inflexible, then what really happens is resentment builds up over time and creates a risk in the relationship. A breach in the relationship. And let me explain to you also, you got to remember different generations based on the environment and the nature, nurture, all these things play into what happens in society and how you respond. And in my parents' generation, women depended on their husbands for financial security. The woman often buried their feelings. Therefore, in the baby boomer generation, when a woman married a man similar to their father, since women in that generation had the opportunity to work, they experienced a higher rate of divorce because they were able to work and Because they were able to provide their own financial security without being dependent on their spouse. Therefore, couples today have an equal relationship with more flexibility and better communication. And communication is very important because that's how you learn to trust each other and that's how you gain someone's trust. The current generation have learned how to compromise with each other and not let one spouse control the other or make the decisions for them. We have to understand that we will not agree with everything, and when you just cannot, when you agree to disagree, then you are able to compromise. And, you know, if you ever watch a soap opera and the relationship between the couple, usually, and you can see that what happens in most of those cases, because they have to create some type of act, because if they showed you how a relationship can progress and how the two people really love each other and learn to respect each other, then guess what? Then it becomes a boring storyline and people are not going to watch it. So they have to create some type of situation where you're going to see the couple in turmoil. guess what? They will end up breaking that couple up. So a lot of things depend on the fan base, and they also depend on the relationship of the two people. Because guess what? Some people really work well together, and some people don't. And if you understand all of that, think about it. In the workplace, what happens? You have to be able to trust your coworker. When you trust them, then you know they will have your back when there is a key with something. But if they don't, then guess what? There are going to be problems and issues. So remember, the society is constantly in flux. And how you want to be remembered long after you are gone depends on how you treat people today. And part of that is based on how you respect yourself. Because if you don't respect yourself and you don't love yourself, then guess what? If you don't think that you deserve to be respected, then you are going to disrespect the people around you, because they're only going to all you're doing is showing them how you want to be treated. And think about it. Is that how you want to be remembered long after you're gone? And if not, then think of the things that you can do that can put yourself into a position to change. So remember, here's what I want you to do. First, write down all your good qualities. Write down all your bad qualities. Look at them. See what you like about yourself and see where you can change your behavior. Then you know what? Go to your closest friends and ask them to tell you what they see as your good quality, what they see as your bad quality. And pull all of that together and sit down with someone, a mentor or someone that can help you strategize what it is that you want to change about yourself and how you can change. We all have personal issues in our lives, but it's how we deal with the issues that determines who we are and how we are perceived by the people around us. Think about it. You know, Apple was founded by Steve Jobs, and he recently died of liver cancer. And think of all the nice things that people have said about him. And here was someone who was an innovator and came up with products that basically revolutionized technology today. But he was also a very frugal man. He didn't spend his money, and he lived a quiet life with his family. Then you've got Bill Gates, and not only was he an innovator, but he has also set up a foundation, and what he's no longer involved in the day-to-day running of his company, but he wants to spend more time being a philanthropist. And in doing so, guess what? If something happened to him tomorrow, how would he be remembered then? So think about it. If you are someone who came from a family where it was abuse and you are an abuser, or if you come from a family where there was a lot of love and respect, and so you learn to love yourself and respect yourself and treat people around you with respect, then you will have the kind and be remembered for the things that you truly, truly want to be remembered for. So remember to think about all those things and think about how you can change yourself for the better, how you can become the person that you truly want to be, and that you how and think about how you want to be remembered. Think about how history will treat you. Because, you know, we are now in the 21st century. And when history talks about the 60s or the 70s, what do they talk about? In so many ways, the 50s was a very conservative era. And the baby boomer generation came into their own during the 60s. And that's when you started seeing more, and you can see where there were a lot of changes going on in the 60s. It was kind of a revolution of sorts. It was a time when people became more conscious of what they were contributing to society and how they wanted to be remembered. So think about all these things. Think about how you want to be remembered down the road, how you want people to see you in the future. And think about how you want to be remembered. And then I want you to sit down and think about how or what about yourself can be changed. What is it about yourself that you can do that's going to help make you a better person? And think about how you can grow as an individual, because, you know, we all need to grow. And we all need to become the person that we see ourselves as becoming and how we want to be remembered. And how you, and if you are someone that invents someone something or introduces a new concept, how will society treat you in the future? How will history treat you in the future? That is an important question that you truly need to understand and see how you can change yourself to truly become the person that you believe you can be. Also, I want to remind you that you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personalcareercoach.com. And you can sign up for either group or individual coaching. Plus, if you are planning to go into business for yourself, think about all the things that you can do to change your behavior. Because if you want to be successful, you need to be trusted in your business. You need to be someone that they know that you're going to stand by your word. If you put out a product and sell a product and it's deficient, that you will do the right thing. And, you know, I purchased advertising from someone, and I did it through Digital River. And they was, and when I found out I was not receiving the product, I tried to get them to refund my money. They are not returning my calls, and I gained distrust for them. And then I found a way to contact this guy, and guess what? He has no intention of turning anything around. And in the meantime, what have I done? I've had to go to my bank and my credit card and file a complaint. So think about how you're going to be remembered.